When the Holy Spirit came over you, and suddenly just light, just an understanding that you never knew before, suddenly like everything has become so clear. And you wonder, why didn't see that? Why didn't know this before? I remember I was so upset when I became a Christian because I've wasted my life. And I said, God, I don't want... I was jealous because some people were Christian before me. I said, I wish I was Christian before you. And God was trying to get my attention several years before. And I was kind of running away. And until the Holy Spirit came, and it was like night and day. How many of you remember this? So you grow up, you find the Lord, you discover your salvation, you learn the God's love, you understand what your sin did to Jesus, all this kind of thing, and you realize how much God loves you and His grace, and then you realize that, oh God, I have this life that I'm going to live now, and I have to make a choice. And as you decided to join, go to church, and one of the things, there were seven people got saved the same day I got saved. And I was the one who was plugged into a cell group. The sixth other person was not plugged in a cell group. Two of them visit a little bit. And today, these six people never came back to church. That's why belong to a cell group, it's so important. We encourage people to join a cell group. Now, what's the purpose of a cell group? It's to help you to walk in your Christian life. I mean, you can watch Joyce Meyers, you can watch Charles Stanley, you can watch a lot of things on TV, but you don't have a conversation with Joyce Meyers. Joyce Meyers will not give you a phone call, say, how are you doing? You need to be alive, participate in the body of Christ. Okay? But this is what happened. And a lot of people, they got saved. And then they meet with other believers. They mix with people in the church. And somehow, this fascinating life that they have discovered, suddenly, little by little, the lights become dimmer. And it, some of them came to the point, they're questioning God, are you there? And a lot of them, because we're talking with a lot of people around the church, and they felt discouraged. Because there's an argument, there's disagreement, all this kind of thing. So things happen, and finally, guess what happened? They don't want to go to church anymore. They don't want to meet with Christian people anymore. They don't want to pray, they don't want to do anything. And they start to judge, and basically, their life, the Bible say that they became worse. The Bible actually say that it's like a dog go and eat his own vomit. That's bad. I don't know why we're talking about this word today, but I don't know, it wasn't planned, but this is bad. So I'm going to talk about a couple of things here to help you to understand how to deal with situation like this in your Christian life. Well, during the pastor's conference about 2 weeks ago, one of the speakers, he was a president of YWAM, and he gave us scriptures, and it was the scriptures of the birth of Jesus, that the shepherd were watching the sheep by night, and the angels of the Lord appeared to them and spoke to them and said to them, today in the city of David, a Savior is going to be born. I mean, you know that scriptures, right? You know that story. When I listened to this, the Holy Spirit just jumped into that part. He said, did you hear it? I hear it, yes, in the city of David, you know, there's going to be a Savior. No, he said, did you hear that? Like three times. I said, what are you talking about? The shepherd watching over the sheep, at night. And say, yes, do you get it? I said, I'm getting it, but not 100%. Why would shepherd watch over sheep at night? You take the sheep during the day, they go in the field, they go and eat, but if they don't sleep during the day, they have to sleep at night. That was my argument. And the Lord said, no, we're not talking about this one. We're talking about, did you understand the scriptures? That part, what I want to tell you. And then he said, they watch over the sheep by night. Now, what literally, make a long story short, this is what he said to me. That the sheep, they are not lamb. Sheep bites. You got it? Jesus is a lamb, he's not a sheep. But sheep now, when they come, they rest in your pasture. They're trusting the shepherd to watch over them. Got it? And let's say that I'm the shepherd, I'm the pastor of this flock. The Lord's spoken to me about this. When you come, when you rest in this place, you trusting me to watch over you. But what about the sheep who don't stay in the pasture at night? They walk around. You can't watch over them, right? But this is an interesting thing because there's another passage talking about the parable of the sower. The man goes out, he sends his workers in the field, and they sow seed, they sow the crop. And what happened? The next day they woke up, they find that the enemy has sowing weeds in the field. You remember that what they say? What do? Do we go and rub and plug and pull all the weeds? The scriptures say no, because while you do that, you might plug the real deal and plug people out. Sometimes as pastors, we learn to let some of the weeds grow among the wheat. But the other key thing is this. They were sleeping at night, not watching over the flock. They were sleeping. So that's one thing. When we sleep, the enemy come and sow weeds. So the Lord spoke to me about it. He said, find out who are the one who will come to the pasture that will trust you, who will sleep in your pasture, and you can watch over them, but not everyone is going to do that. So there's and I said, God, what do you want me to go? Do you want me to go to the Romita's house while she's sleeping? I'm just watching him. That's not what he's saying. Don't get the wrong idea. So I'm not going to knock on your door at night watching you sleeping. No. It basically would say when you guys are not aware what's going around you, that's why I need to be aware what's going around you guys. And there are another way we able to do our what God called us to do is we ask people to join in a cell group. If you choose not to go in a cell group, there's nothing I can do. You can be walking around with a wolf, not even knowing it. And sooner or later, that pasture is not going to be safe for you. So you need to be in a cell. John 10, verse 9 and 10, it says this, that the enemy come to kill, steal, and destroy. And the Bible also says that we should not be unaware of his scheme. He has a schedule, and there's a time on his schedule has your name on it. Like it or not, he has an appointed time to visit you. But we need to do our... You know what? The Bible says that I will have to stand before God and give an answer for you one day. Now, I cannot make a choice not to stand before God and not to give an answer for you. But in my defense to the Lord, God, I've done everything I can, but your choice, it's your choice, it's your decision. God give you free will to do whatever you want, and your free will, that you're going to be accountable for. But we've done everything we can, so we've done, and there's a lot of things we want to be able to watch over you and, you know, covering you, pray for you. There's many ways to connect with us. You got our phone number, you got a house phone number, you got our email, you got our everything, and there's no excuse not to come and plug it in. We have cell leaders, we have many things happening, and we ask you, please connect. I even create Facebook. People say, you're on Facebook? I'm on Facebook just because some of you want to connect on Facebook. Right? Now, Maybe your generation is not on Facebook. You don't like that, but the young people are on Facebook all the time. Nathaniel's on Facebook, right, Nathaniel? We talk about it. All right. So there were times that you have to make decision in your life. You have not. How many of you know we are not? We haven't arrived there yet. We still have a journey to go. We still have some mountain to climb, right? Or you have a ladder to climb. If you find get a job in a company, now you're there, you are in this place, but then you want to know, okay, where's the ladder? Where am I going to climb? But you want to know where the ladder is positioning. Is it tilting this way or this way or this way? So you got to make a choice. Now, there's three things that you guys can do when you have to make a choice. You make the right choice, or you make the wrong choice, which is still the second best. And the third one is you don't make any choice at all. Some of you have made the right choice, some of you have made the bad choice, and some of you have not even made a choice at all. That makes sense? Okay. Now, and this is what I just got to you is Theodore Roosevelt. He's the one who, in his biography, he mentioned that. So I just pick from him. Right. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, he says this. 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who gave me strength. You remember the kids that were doing this play? I can do all things. How many believe you can do all things? All things. What all things mean? All the charismatic Pentecostal Bible teacher will tell you, all things mean all things. Not something that it mean all things through Christ Jesus. Now, this all thing is a little bit trickier. We're going to talk about all things about the kingdom of heavens, about the kingdom of God, right? It's about the right mind of Christ. So we're going to believe at all things. In Mark chapter 2, verse 8 to 11, I'm going to read it to you. Mark chapter 2. 8 to 11, and Jesus was debating in the temple, and then the Pharisees, they started to talk among themselves, and Jesus said this, he said, immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit, in the spirit of Jesus, he knew that what was that they were thinking in their heart. Jesus knew in this, in his spirit, what other people are thinking. Not only heard them speak, he know what the heart is thinking in his spirit. And the Bible says this, that we can do all things through Christ. Christ done it. And I tell you, a lot of times we can hear other people's thinking in their heart what they think. I was at a computer store 2 days ago. And I'm talking to the salesman. I said, why would I buy this computer compared to that other model and everything? And I'm looking at this man's eyes. And I said, God, if any lies that he speak to me right now, I'm going to listen to his heart. My spirit is going to tap up. And he tried to give me all the, and I look at him and say, well, half of it is good, half of it is no good, right? He'll say, yeah, you know what? I have to do my job. I knew. Right? And Jesus said this word, say to them, why are you thinking these things? Have you ever asked yourself, why are you thinking those stuff? That's what we want to talk about. Why are you thinking these things? I mean, your heart starts to think about it. And Jesus said, what? Why? Your heart is not created, designed to think about these things. But why are you doing this? And I find a lot of time, we are spending more time dwelling on those things that are not supposed to. You have a conscious mind and a subconscious mind. Your conscious mind, how I describe it, think about the world, the whole planet, the planet Earth. This is your conscious mind. You know what happened in Africa, you heard what happened in Egypt, you heard what happened in India, so you're conscious about. But your subconscious mind is way bigger. Your subconscious mind is like the universe. All the planetary system That's your subconscious mind. And a lot of time when your subconscious mind tapping with the wrong spirit, you're roaming. Can I use the word roaming? You understand that? You're navigating in the wrong space, in the wrong place. This is what thinking does. It makes you think, going to the wrong place and think about, and this is where the enemy sow weeds. So that, not this thing, okay, weeds. Bad stuff. Something, some of you remind you of a couple of your past. No, I'm not talking. Yeah. Where am I? I should have watched your face one day. Like, okay. Yeah. Where am I again? Yeah. Your subconscious is so huge, so big. And a lot of time you don't even realize you're roaming with the enemy. And I don't like roaming. I pay too much when I roam. It's a high price. It's expensive. I like local call. It's much better. I know how much I'm paying at the end of the month. Especially now we're talking about this roaming thing is going to go up. Roaming is not good. Your spirit roam around. You know, a lot of Tibetan monk, they learn to travel, their spirit travel. You know that? I studied that a long time, and their spirit will lift their body. They will attach with their embryo, their birth cord. Their spirit will travel far, far, and give a message to their friend and come back. Sometimes it's 3 days' journey. Their spirit will travel. There have been a lot of proof about this. This spirit can get out of their body. This is a demonic thing too. And we as Christians, we're talking about meditation of our hearts. Let it be pleasing to you, Lord. Let our word that come out of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be pleasing to you. How many time we spent every day, what is pleasing to the Lord, what is not pleasing to the Lord? A lot of time we think, right? Our thoughts, suddenly we make a choice, good or bad, or don't make a choice at all, to choose if it's the right thing or not the right thing. And this, your thoughts now in your mind, your subconscious mind, you believe it, it became a belief. And when it became a belief, next thing you do, you speak it out, but too fast, too quick. Many times we don't even think about it. Have you ever talked to someone, they talk the same time, and everything they have an answer right away, and next thing you know, it's the conversation is going nowhere. You're wasting your time, you're wasting your energy, you get on your nerve. There's no peace, there's no joy, there's no righteousness, there's just frustration and argument. We need some time to stop and say, why am I thinking this way? Jesus said, why are you thinking this way? Oh, before we go, just like, wait a minute. Mind, wait. Let me ask my spirit, like Jesus did in his spirit, find out where this comes from. This is how we're going to learn to win our soul. A lot of time we say things that what we say, that belief, that knowing is what the enemy wants us to believe, what the enemy wants us to know. And it just comes out of our mouth. So quick, so rattle. And when we do this, the enemy say, that's it, got it. And if the other person you're talking to, same thing, at the end, guess what? There's no peace. There's an argument. There's frustration. So we need to learn to release peace and joy and righteousness. But how are we going to do this? It's first of all, it starts in our mind. It starts in our hearts. Now, there's been a lot of research done with people, especially they believe that people who pray, their mind is more stable. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, it says this, as a man think in his heart, so is he. I asked Susan, who are you? I work, no, I'm not asking where you work, who are you? Well, my mom and dad. Oh no, I'm not asking who's your mom and dad. Well, I'm living. No, I'm like, who are you? A lot of people, they don't know who you are. Basically, what you think is who you are. I was born in that country. No, I'm not asking where you were born. I say, who are you? I'm Canadian. No, I'm asking, you know, we need to learn to discover ourselves, right? As a man or woman think in his or her heart, so is he or her, right? 1 Peter chapter 1, 13 says, therefore, gird up the loin of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus. He says this, gear up your mind, guard it, right? Rest your hope upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus. The same day you receive Christ, the same revelation you got, he said, put that hope, your mind, on that revelation. Verse 14, he said, as obedient children, not as conforming yourself to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, so you also be holy in all your conducts, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Matthew 19, verse 20 says, all things is possible for those who believe. Your belief system need to change. Our belief system need to be changed. A lot of time, our spirit is recreated, is born again, but our soul is still carry a lot of junk. It's like a graveyard sometime. And a lot of time, we go and we dig there, we bring things to our present situation. You know what? I heard what you're talking about. My experience told me that this, and you start speaking about from your, you pick up from your graveyard, your soul been carrying things. Somebody who has a bad experience with marriage, married before, divorced, marriage before, divorced, married before, divorce, and all this kind of thing. And now you say, hey, you know what? What are you going to marry again? No, that's it. Guess what? You dig up from that graveyard again. Does that make sense? A lot of times, we make two choices because of our experience. Bad experience, we take out from that. But the worst thing I find out in life is not the bad experience that's more dangerous. It's the best experience in your life that's more dangerous. Your bad experience, you want to choose to make, you want to change. You don't want to do that, so you're looking for changes. But your good experience, what you know, it's been successful, good and good and good and good. You never want to change that. You never see progress in your life. And when the Holy Spirit wants to move you to something else, you say, no. I succeed. This is working for me right now. And you stop God from moving. But a bad experience, God said, move. I'll move because that's a bad experience. Okay, I do it right now. Yes, let's go. You know, so your best experience, success, is going to be your most dangerous thing in your life. That's going to restrict God from moving to your life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, and it's talking to the leaders and the leaders of the church in Corinthians. That church is divided over the leaders. And he says this, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say. Think about this. That you agree with one another in what you say, and that there will be no division among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thoughts. There's no division in our mind, in our thoughts. How can we going to achieve this unless we start thinking about winning the battle in our soul? God wants us as a church to be one in mind and thoughts. Next week, after church for the lunch, we're going to show you, it's a true movie that they put the real character, the real policeman, the real doctors, the real people, and how they were fighting with the negative thoughts and the soul that they carry, and step into what God said and believe. And they, the whole church started to gather together, rally around these people, and God started to move powerfully. We'll show that to you next week. So I don't want to give you more because I'm going to spoil the thing, right? But I encourage you to stay next week for that. God wants you and I, what you think and what I think, and our hearts to be one. There's no division. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "Who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." God wants us to have the same thoughts that Jesus have. We have the mind of Christ. If you have the mind of Christ, we have the mind of Christ, then you can be united in perfect unity. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. "But their mind were made dull. To this day, the same veil remain." Talking about the people who don't understand, don't know who Jesus is. "Say, because the veil remain when the old covenant is read, it is not been removed, because only in Christ Jesus it is taken away." So everything that blocking your mind to see, only Jesus can take it away. Have you ever talked to someone, and it happened to me on Thursday. I was telling something, and the other person said, "Tell me another one." I said, no, I'm say it again. The other person repeats it, something different. I said, no, let me tell you again. This. The other one will repeat it. I said, no, you're not. I'm hearing what you're telling me, but this is not what I'm telling you. I repeat like 8-9 times until the person take a moment to think. Why am I thinking this way? Because there's been a lot of, you know, when you hear what other people talk about other people, you already put a judgment on that person. And when that person talks to you, you don't hear it. Doesn't matter how good it is. That's what I was dealing with. I say, "You're not getting it. Did you hear what I'm saying? You're not hearing what I'm saying. I can hear what you say, but this. It takes like 45 minutes for the person to really find its weight, change, check his thoughts, check his heart, and really now say, "Oh, fine. But why didn't get it the first time?" I don't know why you didn't get it the first time. A lot of time we need to spend time, think, do this. Meditate, spend time, rest. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "The God of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers." Mind can become blind. Now, you and I will probably look at it and say, "Well, these are unbelievers. These are people who don't know Jesus." Not necessarily, not 100% so. There are times when I talk to believers, their mind is blinded. When I say, "Do you know what God wants to do right now in that situation, in that moment? Or you making a decision this week to do this, but did you see, did you understand?" The mind, they don't. They can't understand. They have been blinded for that particular situation. They listen to gossip. They listen to the wrong people. They can't hear it. Basically, they're listening to the enemy himself. When somebody speaks a thought originate from the enemy, they're speaking lies to others. And when people listen to that, they believe it. Guess what? They're believing the enemy. Their faith is not in God anymore. Oh, you know what? I can understand it. How did Satan do this? He would take something a little bit like you understand things. Did God really say that? Can you not eat from that tree? Well, taste it. Try it and you'll see. You'll be like him. Now, God, we are created in his image. How can more? But it's another lie. But every time we speak like this, lies come out, and you take 4 or 5 people, 5 or 6 people speaking lies all together, guess what happened? There's no peace, there's no joy, there's no righteousness. Nobody go around, we just keep going in a circle. I would encourage you to say, when you talk to someone, or you talk to your spouse, take some time to analyze what you're hearing and what you're thinking. Is it the same thing? I can hear you, but what come out of my heart right now when you say these things, is that the enemy is trying to, it's that the devil who's trying to make me think this way? Because is that a quick judgment coming out? Is that a quick, ungodly belief that come out? Is that I'm putting out of my past experience to tell you, no. Why am I arguing this way? Does that make sense? Okay, for the God of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So once your mind is open, you can see. The Bible talk about you see now the glory of God. How many times you want to see the glory of God? In every situation when the glory of God comes, things happen. Somebody who's sick, you pray for that person. You know what? This, I don't understand, but this. But when you have the mind of Christ and your mind is open to God, and next thing you know, the glory of God comes into this situation. Then, you know, God, for you and I, we call it miracles, but for Him, it's just natural things. For Him, it's just that what He does every time. God, we call the God of miracle, but He say, hey, this is what I do all the time. That's me. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, so verse 3 says, but I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent cunning, your mind may somehow be led astray by your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. He's talking about Christian here. You are pure, your devotion to Christ, but your mind can be led astray by the cunning serpent, like Eve. Obedience become a joy, not a sacrifice. When your mind is open to God, your obedience, it's not like a striving, pushing, it's not hard anymore. It become a joy. When Jesus was looking at the cross, the joy that was set before me. Why? His mind is open. A lot of time, God wants you to do something, but when you look at it, and the enemy whispering over you, and you heard a lot of negative things, you listen to the wrong people, there's no glory in that. There's no joy. And sometimes I see people, they do things for the Lord, but there's no joy. I'm doing it, yeah, because, you know, I just have to do it. No, your heart is not there again. We talk about that. Matthew 18, verse 19. Again, truly I tell you that two of you agree on earth because about anything they ask for, it will be done by my Father in heaven. How many know that scriptures? Matthew 18, 19. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. I agree in my name. We're going to take a moment. I'm going to ask, who of you have something you want someone to agree with you this morning? If you believe in God and you're hearing God saying something to you, you need someone to agree with you. You can't just be by yourself. And a lot of time, the enemy will tell you, you're okay, just by your own strength, your own belief will be fine. Just keep praying. But this is it. You need to have someone who will stand in total agreement with you about anything. So I want you to tell me this morning, or tell the church, what are the things that you're believing for, what God is saying to you, and we're going to stand with you, we're going to agree with you, and we want to see this come to pass. The whole church, we're going to have one mind, same thoughts, and you're going to see the glory of God moving in. Now, we're not going to be, you know, James said that you're double-minded, you, guess what? You'll receive nothing from the Lord. I'm not asking you to believe God today and then you go home and say, oh my goodness, I don't know. And then you come back next week, yes, I believe. And then, no, not good. Am I going to stay? Am I going to leave? Am I going to eat? Am I going to sleep? Well, I don't know. No, that's not what we're talking about. Now, a lot of study has been done. One study has done by university, they find out that people who meditate, people who spend time on meditation, their brain size increase. But people who are under stress and a demonic attack, their brain size shrink. There's no effects. And this is done in May 18, 2009. It's in the Medical Science Journal. A study have proved that religious people have less stress and anxiety. Right? University of Toronto has published another one, Psychology Science, and they show that, this is interesting. This is in Toronto. Babies who have bad temper, they found that they can predict the structure of this little baby and they can say how this child is going to grow up down the road. It's no good. And why did the baby do that? I tell you, if there's a lot of strife in the house, they can feel it. They would know in their spirit what other people's doing, what other people's saying. And I tell you, I've seen many times, little baby, they're born, they're cute, they're giggling, they're happy. Something happened, negative. The next week, the baby can't smile anymore. You went, what? What happened to you? It's true. And some of you have babies. Watch out. In Boston, they have discovered that meditation calms people down, but the agitated brain, it causes structure damage in the brain. All right, there's a lot of these things I've done, a lot of research on this one. We won't be able to go in through all of them. I know I'm taking some time here. Let me just give you this quickly. There's only a few things here. And what I want to encourage you is this. Join a cell group during the week. I want you to bring this. I'm going to send it to you by our cell leaders. I'm going to send it to you by mail. And I want you to bring it to your cell group. And I want you to pray for one another and to work on this one. Is that okay? Right. Winning the battle of your soul. Can I have maybe one light's off? It's okay. Right. Our thoughts become habits and action, and habits become action. Right? We need to train our conscious mind to be conscious of the realm of the spirit, where we're going. We don't want roaming around in the wrong place. People say things that's not right. Okay, next one. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, your mind at work. I used to listen to a band called Man at Work from Down Under. Right, so your thoughts will turn your belief system, make your belief system into, so who are you? As you think, that's who you are, because that's what you're going to do. Have you ever found people who just had a nice big meal? It happened to me, honest. I'm full, right? And I thought, that's it. An hour later, I feel hungry. Why am I feeling hungry? Right? Your mind, it triggers something to your body telling you you're hungry. I remember because the last 2 days, at the same time, I was hungry. That habit keep happening in my body. And by the way, let me just step out of that. Ron, can you just wave? Ron is a licensed on nutrition and whatever food thing. So Ron is going to do one thing with us. He's going to teach us explain to us how our body work with food. It's not how much you eat. It's not about, but it's there's a lot of things dynamic about eating, right? So we're going to listen to him. He's going to come and share. We're going to have another guy called Larry. We're going to invite him here just as we're talking about this. Larry is going to teach you, especially parents, his main focus in his life is about saving money. He will give you the Bible principle about saving money, how to save money, especially saving money for your children. The Bible says a righteous man will leave an inheritance to their children, third generation. And I find a lot of time, righteous men have never seen the righteous being forsaken. And sometimes you say, I'm righteous. Do you have inheritance? I don't know. My pension plan don't look good right now. So we're going to have him coming. It's all good. He's going to explain a lot of things to us. Open our mind to see that. Okay? Right. Next one. Prayer. You need to pray. This is what you need to do. Your confession, forgiveness, and cleansing of your soul. Right? We're going to give you this. Okay. We're going to go quickly, but you guys are going to do this in your cell group. Negative expectation corresponding to inner vow judgment, inner things that come out of you. Your negative. So every time when you expect negative thing, I don't like to be with people who are negative. Have you ever sit? I was in the plane one day, and this lady sit behind me, talking all the time. You know, the plane's going to crash. The plane's going to crash. The plane's going to crash. I was getting going to say, shut up! No, I didn't do it. She keeps shaking on the plane, and my husband's going to come and meet me next week. I don't know, but if it crashes, we won't see each other again. She, for 3.5 hours. I was like, God help. You can't do that. Now, sometimes you go with people, they do that for 5 minutes, sitting in the car. Sometimes they say good things, sometimes they tap into that bad expectation thing, right? So this is what we do. Lord, what negative expectation are contributing to? You right? So you add that, you fill in the blank. I expect and believe, and you replace it with a good one. And then you also, Lord, what inner vow are contributing to this? What are the things? What are the vow? A lot of times the vow are from your past generation. What your grandpa, what your grandma, you know, has spoken over you and what they believe. We know people who, their grandfather has committed suicide, their father commits suicide, and they're contemplating to commit suicide. They're afraid of, that's what happens when we get angry. We are in a vow. Okay. Contrasting positive belief and spirit and power purpose. However, God says, now this is where you're going. So I purpose in the Holy Spirit, and when you feel it, you need to have an action plan. Okay, let me ask you this. What are your dreams and goals? If you don't set up goals, you cannot going to fulfill your dream. We talk about this in our men's group. Goals, if you want to be this, you want to do that, you have to take an hour, 2 hours per week or per day so that you can fulfill that, right? If somebody wants to study, want to become a lawyer, you cannot just say, you know what, in 3 years, I'm going to, 5 years, I'm going to be a lawyer. You have to spend time, so you have to set up goals, right? So what are your dream? The other one, we talk about breaking word of curses and casting out demons. A lot of time, demonic spirit, they stay in your house when there were spoken lies in your house, in people's life. They inhabit, and you live in their presence. Have you ever walked into people's home and sometimes you feel there's it's not good? And you realize that what's been spoken in that house. So you need to demolish that demonic house, and that's been surrounding your home. Sin will do that to you. It's knocking at the door. But that's why the need said, if Jesus knocks on the door, you open, he will come, he will dine in with you. Right? Okay. Because of time, I'm going to stop there. Okay? Right? So there's some work to do. Right? Let us stand. Let's stand and pray. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I know that why God asked me to speak this to you. I don't know the whole thing, but I believe there's a reason why. And I don't want you, that's not maybe for everybody, but I don't want you to think that, oh, Pastor John know about this, that's why he's bringing this message. No, I just felt the Lord guide me to talk about this. It's been led by the Spirit, not by what I, you know, you understand what I'm saying? I believe it's been led by the Spirit. And if you allow the enemy lie that bring this lie to you, I want you to break this lies right now. I want you to say, God, I want to hear this. I want to hear it loud and clear. I want to clear my mind right now. I want to allow your presence, your glory to come over me. Let your glory come into my mind, my thoughts, my imagination. And help me, Father, when every time I travel, my mind, my thoughts go to places that not supposed to. A lot of times, you know, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says in Genesis, is hovering, is going to one place. God wants our mind to be also be able to do what the Holy Spirit is doing. But Satan, in the book of Job, they say, where have you been? He say, I've been going back and forth. A lot of time you go back and forth. You go to one room and say, I forgot what I'm supposed to do. I just forgot. I know there was something. And you go back and you go. So just to remember. So there's a thing about losing memories. Father, we want to pray that all of us right now, that nobody will have a brain shrink, but we have a brain, a mind of Christ, perfectly settled in the mind of Christ. We won't have the same unity and the same thoughts. And what your word taught us, Father, we want to believe it, that we can do all things through Christ Jesus. And if our mind is healthy, we can do all things. We can succeed in everything that we do in our lives. Everything that we believe, God, what you say, that we can do it. We can be very successful in you, God. So help us, Father. Help us, Father, to teach our children that. Help them to meditate. Help them to spend time in your presence, to listen to your voice. Thank you, God, for the soaking. Thank you for the meditation, listening to your Spirit. Father, we break off every bad, negative expectation that people have into their life right now. Everything that seems bad, negative, Lord, we break that expectation. We break the lies of the enemy. We cast it out right now in Jesus' name. Every mood swing from the enemy, Father, we break it off in Jesus' name. Every bad experience that's guiding our footstep, we break that bad experience in Jesus' name. And Father, we release ourselves into your hand. We release ourselves, submit the whole being, Father, into your love, into your grace right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we want to bless the next couple of days and week that's before us. We ask, Father, that every day that we can go with joy, peace, and righteousness, we can meet with others, that we can be, as we set our soul, we win in the battle in our soul, we can win soul. So we release our soul into your hand. And Father, let our soul rejoice in your presence. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you. And we have a couple of good men who have a heart with us. We need your help to carry a couple of things in the car. Right? What? Communion. Sorry, guys. Hello? Nobody move. We're going to have communion. All right. Thanks, Joe. All right. So what are we going to ask you? Just gather with your group, 2 or 3 people, and pray for one another and have communion before you leave. All right?